From the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
This week on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, North Korea is back at it. Green Berets helped Ukrainians almost a decade ago. And are war crimes a viable threat to Russia? Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Christian husband, and Reagan Republican. On Thursday of this past week, North Korea fired a new intercontinental ballistic missile that flew farther and faster than their last test in 2017. This test was a violation of a UN ban on North Korea test-firing missiles and comes at a time when Russia is still involved in a war with Ukraine. Joining Family Research Council President Tony Perkins to discuss this latest threat is Representative Vicki Hartzler of Missouri.
Congresswoman Hartzler, welcome back to the program.
Well, hello, Tony. Good to be here.
Well, before we get into North Korea, Senate Republican Leader Mitch McConnell was on the Senate floor about an hour ago announcing his opposition to Supreme Court nominee Ketanji Brown Jackson. Your thoughts?
Well, I share his concern. I mean, this is a judge who seems to be like an activist judge, and she's soft on those who have committed child pornography. And by sentencing them when she was a judge to less than what the prosecutors want, less than the guidelines had called for. And it was really baffling how when Senator Blackburn asked her if she could define a woman, how she said that she couldn't, that she's not a doctor, she doesn't know biology. Well, it's pretty simple. God made them male and female. And I think that's very troubling that she can't define what a woman is. And it makes you wonder how she's going to rule in a lot of these cases dealing with gender confusion.
You're exactly right. In fact, I'd like to play that a clip because it is so outrageous that people don't even believe that it could be the case. But I want to play this clip of that exchange that took place earlier in the week. Clip number 5, please.
Can you provide a definition for the word woman?
Can I provide a definition?
Mm-hmm. No. Yeah.
I can't.
You can't?
Not in this context.
So
I'm not a biologist.
This has great significance in what is unfolding in our country today. I mean, you've been leading the charges. You've spoken out about this issue. In fact, Twitter came after you for defending women's sports. This very likely is going to end up before the courts. Something pertaining to women's sports, I feel confident, will land before the United States Supreme Court. And you have a justice here that can't even define a woman?
Oh, it is an upside down world that we're living in. I mean, I think we're back to the book, The Emperor's New Clothes, where a child had to actually speak truth to adults. I think most people and children certainly can say this is a woman and this is a man. And yet we have adults in the society, leaders, politicians, and now judges who just seem confused about this very basic thing. And what is a woman? What is a man? We're having women's sports being decimated. Where colleges and others are allowing biological males to compete on women's teams, and they are winning. They're taking their scholarships and their records and their trophies. It is absolutely ludicrous. And then when I speak out and simply say that women's sports should be for women, not men pretending to be women, Twitter says that I have violated their hateful conduct rules, and so they suspend my account, and they won't reinstate it unless I take that down. And I told them they can have their account back. I'm not going to quit speaking truth and common sense and what every person really knows deep down in their heart.
Now, Congresswoman Hartzler, let me ask you this question. This is my perception, but you are crisscrossing the state of Missouri. You've been out there a lot in the last several months. My perception as I travel the country and talk to people is that the American citizens realize this for what it is. It's nonsense. It's insanity. But yet the regulators of speech, like Twitter, and those that are in these positions, like the court or other places, who are fearful of the left mob, they won't speak truth. But the American people realize what this is. It's nonsense.
It is. Polling shows that the vast majority of Americans say this is crazy. They get it. that women's sports should be for women and not males. It's not hard. It's not a confusing issue. And yet the elitist of our country seem to think that they know better. And you're right, it is based in fear. And that is a sad place to be, that you can't speak truth because you're afraid that somebody is going to silence you in this woke world that we live in. But the good news is that there's a lot more of us that have common sense than those who are trying to silence us. I believe we all need to continue to speak out, and that we ultimately can prevail in this. We've had over 11 states that have passed state laws that have protected women's sports. There's two pieces of legislation in Congress that I've co-sponsored that would protect women's sports. You know, Title IX is a federal piece of legislation that was passed in 1972, and I benefited from it as an athlete in high school, to make sure that girls have equal opportunity in education, and that includes in scholarships and in academia, but also in sports. And so Congress does have a role in this, and I'm hopeful that we'll be able to pass legislation that says, basically, if you're an institution that receives Title IX monies from the federal government, that you can't let biological males compete in women's sports. So we will see. I'm hopeful we'll take the majority in the House and the Senate next year, and this is something that we can pass because common sense is with us, truth is with us, but certainly the American people are with us as well.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Speaking of fear, sometimes it's good when your enemies fear you, and it appears that North Korea does not have fear, especially when it comes to the United States. What do you make of North Korea's latest missile launch?
Well, it is just another test of Biden's weakness. They saw what happened in Afghanistan and the horrible debacle of our leaving Americans behind, leaving 90-some billion dollars worth of equipment behind. It was just a terrible show of leadership, so weak. And Putin has realized that, and that's what's prompted him to help go after his long-term goal of taking back Ukraine. And it's just heartbreaking how he is attacking the innocent free people of Ukraine. And now Kim Jong-un is also empowered and emboldened by this weakness. And so he is trying to show his strength and say, hey, you need to take the sanctions off of my country. I have this capability. He's basically threatening us as Americans by shooting off this ICBM that potentially could reach the shores of this country. And he is saying, look, I have military strength and you don't have political will or just the capability to stop me. And that is very concerning when you have Xi Jinping, the chairman of the Chinese Communist Party, who has long wanted to take on and take out Taiwan and reunify it with China. We're very, very concerned and watching what China is doing, if they will be emboldened and try to do that as well. And it all stems from the weakness of President Biden. We must have peace through strength. We must continue to build up our military capabilities. When we set a red line, we need to act. And this administration is not being strong at all. And we're all at danger because of it, in danger.
From your vantage point on the House Armed Services Committee, and I know you've kept your finger on the pulse of many of these international threats, how far do you think Kim Jong-un would go in his threat to the United States and to others?
I don't think he would actually launch one into our country. He would know that it would be immediate retaliation, and he and his country would be decimated with a response of nuclear weapons. But it's still very disconcerting for South Korea, for Japan, for our other allies in the region. And it's going to make it more difficult to be able to do, you know, to keep them free. They've got to be concerned. We need to do increased military exercises with our allies. We need to make sure that we keep our forces there in South Korea and in on Japan and Okinawa to not back down. We can't let Kim Jong-un think that he has made any progress by threatening this way. He's a thug, and we need to stand strong against him.
You're absolutely right. Strength is the way to peace. It is contrary to the left's thinking, but history shows that is, in fact, the way that we obtain peace. Congresswoman Vicki Hartzler, thanks so much for joining us. Always great to talk with you.
Thank you, Tony. Take care.
All right, folks, still to come, I'm going to give you the details on FRC Action filing a federal lawsuit against the Biden administration. That's coming up a little later. But next, President Biden was in Europe today meeting with NATO and G7 allies for emergency session on Russia's invasion of Ukraine. What has come out of those meetings so far? We'll talk about this with Congressman Mike Waltz after the break. So don't go away. A lot more Washington Watch still to come.
At Family Research Council, we believe that every person has inherent dignity and worth. That is why we fight for every human life to be affirmed and valued. Abortion, pornography, and human trafficking all violate the dignity and worth of individuals, treating them as objects to be bought, sold, and discarded by others. These inhumane practices disregard the fact that everyone is created in the image of God. No one, regardless of their sex, size, or age, should be treated like a commodity. To combat the attacks we're seeing on the defenseless, FRC Center for Human Dignity serves to educate and advocate for the voiceless. At the center, you will find helpful resources addressing abortion, bioethics, human trafficking, pornography, and other current issues regarding human dignity. To learn more, visit frc.org/life. That's frc.org/life.
We're seeing more and more cases of censorship and the cancellation of many conservatives and Christians by big tech. Family Research Council has chosen to be proactive before big tech tries to censor or cancel us too. Sign up for our text subscription platform to stay connected. It's easy. Just text STAND to 67742 and you'll get FRC's content straight on your phone. Stay connected with like-minded community. Just text STAND to 67742.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So good to have you with us. The website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, today marks 1 month since Russia invaded Ukraine. And President Biden spent the day in Brussels meeting with NATO and G7 allies for emergency sessions on Russia's brutal war against Ukraine. The leaders of the 30-member NATO alliance and the G7 also heard directly via video from Ukrainian President Zelensky, who repeated requests for continued and increased security assistance from the West. Joining me now to talk about this is Congressman Mike Waltz, a member of the House Armed Services Committee, a decorated Special Forces officer. He serves the 6th Congressional District of the Sunshine State. He joins us by phone. Congressman, welcome back to the program.
Hey, good to be with you, Tony. Thanks.
So let me just start with this. What are your thoughts thus far on what has come out of the president's trip to Europe?
You know, Tony, I'd give it mixed. You know, we certainly welcome the additional sanctions. I'm glad he's there. You know, and President Zelensky in his speech to Congress really challenged Biden to step up to be the leader of the free world. But I wanted to see more. I wanted to see a Marshall Plan for American energy, along with a strategy for Europe to get off of Russian energy. I wanted to see renewed demands from the United States that the Europeans step up their own defense spending and stop relying on the American taxpayer to subsidize their own defense. I think we saw a lot from all of the European nations in terms of support for Zelensky and the Ukrainian resistance, but they need to move that lethal aid faster and send more of it. And I would have liked to have seen a stronger stand in terms of red lines when it comes to weapons of mass destruction and when it comes to possible Chinese support of Russia with military aid. So I'd give it a C.
I want to go to a clip during the press conference that he had after his meeting today. President Biden was asked whether he emboldened Vladimir Putin by ruling out military intervention too quickly. I want to play that exchange between an ABC reporter and President Biden. Play that clip, please.
You've made it very clear in this conflict that you do not want to see World War III. But is it possible that in expressing that so early that you were too quick to rule out direct military intervention in this war? Could Putin have been emboldened knowing that you are not going to get involved directly in this conflict?
No and no. Your response, Congressman.
Yes and yes, Tony. And it's actually refreshing to see some tough questions from Main Street media of this White House. But look, no one wants World War III, but Putin does not want World War III. He knows he faces the United States military, he loses. But what Biden has done, one, he undercut his own diplomacy by pulling hard power off the table. It's kind of like, I don't know, maybe a security guard at a bank going up to the potential robbers and saying, please don't rob this bank, but I want to let you know I left my gun. So that's one piece, right? But the other piece is by continuing to let fear of escalation drive his foreign policy, he's actually emboldened Putin, and Putin will continue to escalate. He's going to push until he meets steel, and we need to make those red lines very clear.
Let me talk for a moment about what's happening on the ground in Ukraine. We're a month into this, and Vladimir Putin thought he would roll right through Ukraine, but the resistance has been remarkable. But there has been some preparations. The U.S. Army's Green Berets have been quietly helping over the last several years prepare Ukrainian forces for something just like this. Tell us about it.
Well, you know, Green Berets specialize in training foreign militaries around the world. And after the first invasion in 2014, both our special forces and even the National Guard, the Florida National Guard, began training the Ukrainians at various levels. Clearly, that training is paying off. Under the Trump administration, we finally began giving the Ukrainians lethal aid. Remember, infamously, Obama threw blankets at the problem after they were invaded, after Ukraine was invaded the first time. But Trump gave lethal aid. We began training them on it. We also began training them on how to conduct a partisan resistance, how to gather groups of civilians to fight for themselves, to frustrate a potential invader, how to conduct urban warfare, which we're seeing now in the cities. But still, I don't think rolling into this administration over the last year, we gave the Ukrainians truly what they needed to fight until it was too late. They were begging practically last year when I was out there on a visit for Stingers. The Biden White House said no, it was too provocative of Putin. They were begging for anti-ship missiles to defend their ports. That was also stamped as too provocative. And again, this kind of passive, back-footed approach from the Biden administration is what I believe made Putin think he could get away with this so easily.
Congressman, we only have about 30 seconds left, but you mentioned civilians. Reports that Moscow is forcibly taking civilians from Ukraine back to Russia. Any validity to those reports?
I've asked for a briefing on that. I'll look forward to getting more classified briefings next week. I've seen that same reporting, and under the Geneva Convention, under the Charter of the International Criminal Courts, that is a war crime. Forcible relocations of civilians is a war crime. I was pleased to see the administration label what Putin is doing formally as war crimes, but what they need to do as a next step is start naming individual generals, because you want to sow doubt in those generals' minds that they'll be able to get away with it.
Absolutely. That is absolutely the case. Congressman Mike Waltz, always great to talk with you. Thanks so much for stepping out to talk with us this afternoon.
Okay, thanks so much, Tony.
You can find out more about Representative Mike Waltz when you visit TonyPerkins.com. While you're there, we have a couple of articles we'd like you to see about the war in Ukraine, as well as some prayer points for you to use when you pray for the people of Ukraine. And if you haven't done so already, sign up for our 2-year Bible reading plan when you head over to TonyPerkins.com. That's TonyPerkins.com.
There is only one truth, God's truth. As Christians, we are called to align our beliefs and actions to what the Bible says is true. At Family Research Council's Center for Biblical Worldview, our team of experts have created tools and resources to help aid in the fight for truth. These resources dive into issues including voting, religious liberty, abortion, marriage, and sexuality. The center serves to help Christians understand why Scripture must be authoritative and to equip believers to advance and defend their faith in the workplace, in their schools, and in the public square. The Center for Biblical Worldview experts provide research and resources to help prepare believers to give a biblical answer to our culture's most pressing questions. Access these free resources at frc.org/worldview. See the Worldview Fellows' latest blogs, op-eds, interviews, and publications by signing up for the newsletter at frc.org/subscriptions.
Masculinity in America has never been under attack the way it is today. We have reached the point where the term itself is considered toxic or offensive to many. American men are conflicted as to what their role is in society. The consistent message in our nation is that masculinity by nature is bad and is the root cause of many of the problems plaguing our society. From his experience as a military combat officer and ordained minister of the gospel, Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin has seen and dealt with firsthand the breakdown of leadership in our nation by the lack of godly men living lives of purpose as revealed in the Bible. In his latest book, Man to Man, Rediscovering Masculinity in a Challenging World, he addresses the essential elements of manhood as a provider, an instructor, a defender, a battle buddy, and a chaplain, and explains how to personally develop these traits and pass them on to the next generation. Get your copy of Man to Man wherever books are sold.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, your host. The website, tonyperkins.com. All right, the freedom convoys that started in Canada and then rolled across the United States revealed something simple yet profound to many Americans. Each of us, using what we have right where we are, can stand up and defend what is valuable and important to us. For those who listen to Washington Watch regularly, you've heard me say before, our form of government, this constitutional republic of ours, was made for participants, not spectators. We all, and I emphasize all, have a part to play in preserving the freedoms that we have been entrusted with. Over the last 2 years, we watched the overreaching arm of governments impose one mandate after another on the American people. Many of these mandates have been lifted either by court action or by government officials who reluctantly responded to the growing public pushback. Nothing has become more symbolic, I believe, of these overreaching government mandates than the mask mandates that have literally muzzled the American people. Now, the critics would say, how can you make such a claim? It's very simple. Follow the science. From the start, there was little, if any, scientific support for the claim that masks prevent the introduction, transmission, and spread of COVID-19. The science supporting a position opposed to the mandates was limited initially, but not anymore. Studies now not only show that the masks are actually ineffective, but the science screams that the mask mandates are actually harmful, especially to children. Studies show these masks are linked to skin issues, carbon dioxide in the blood, anxiety, and depression, which outweighs any possible benefit of mask mandates. For this reason, many schools have either been forced to or have voluntarily dropped their mask mandates. The primary area where the mask mandates continue is the federal government's mask mandates that consist of masks on planes. But again, the science that those on the left repeatedly point to as justification, acting as if the rest of America can't read, doesn't even come close to supporting their mandate. According to epidemiologists, the air filtration systems on airplanes make them one of the safest public places on Earth in terms of viruses. The HEPA filters on commercial aircraft capture more than 99% of airborne particles. The air changes on those planes about every 2 minutes. So, if the science doesn't support the mask mandate, why do we have them? Well, for some in government, it is designed to pacify, to make people feel safe, since some have seized upon the pandemic to scare people into hiding. But for others, the leftists that occupy positions of authority, it is about control. Initially, I believe the intentions of those in government were genuine in seeking the well-being of people in the face of a relatively unprecedented challenge. But it wasn't long after that we had mayors like Eric Simmons in Greenville, Mississippi, ordering churches to close and then having police write citations to church members who sat in their parked cars on the church parking lot listening to a drive-in service. We had governors like California's Gavin Newsom who shut down churches, fined them millions of dollars, and threatened them with arrest when they refused to comply. It became evident that this was about more than public safety. This was about political power and control. And I began to warn pastors and others to not look at the response to this pandemic as a one-off, a once-in-a-lifetime event. Instead, we needed to look at this as a harbinger of things to come. What we accepted in terms of the infringement upon our rights in this health emergency would become the norm in the next. That's why last night, FRC Action, the political arm of the Family Research Council, filed a federal lawsuit against President Biden and his mask mandate. We've watched others file suits that have not succeeded, and we've watched those at various state and local levels that have succeeded. As a result, we've crafted a unique lawsuit, equipped with the knowledge of what has prevailed in court and what has not. This challenge, we believe, can lead to the striking down of the federal mask mandate as an unjustified overreach of the federal government. Our goal is to ensure the mask mandate cannot be reinstated in the future at the whim of any leftist who wants to exercise control over the American people. We are joining with the truckers, doing what we can with what we have to preserve what we've been entrusted with, our freedom. It's time to end this government overreach.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us. I look forward to having you back here again next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.